So before I start, I just wanted to share with you, I do strongly believe in community, okay? And one of the things that I would like to do right now, there is a young man here by the name of Alex Townsend. Where is he? What? He went down there. All right. So there's a man named Alex Townsend right down there. He's going to come up here, but as we do that, I'm just going to fill you in what's going on. Alex was diagnosed with cancer right around in March of this past year, and it's been an extremely, extremely aggressive cancer. And Alex has gone through a lot. His family has gone through a lot, and basically we were told, and everybody kind of was told, Alex, you know, you need to start preparing for things. And Alex is here today. And I will tell you from where, when I've been visiting with him, I didn't think, as in he physically would be here with us today. I thought maybe he'd be at home or something, but Alex, this means so much to him to be here at this service. So I can't help but want to praise God for the work that he's done in this man's life, because he has surrendered it over to the Lord. And I will just say this, I say this to you often, but a man that's facing the obstacles that you have, and to see the faith that has been developed in you, it is just oozing out of you. And it is amazing to me. So you are an inspiration to us. Tim and I talk about this all the time. And I just want to pray for you that God continues to strengthen you and use you in any way that he can, because I know that that is what your heart says. All right? So can we all join in prayer for this man, please? God, I thank you for Brother Alex. I thank you for the work that you have already begun in his life, and God, that you're going to continue to do. God, I thank you for the opportunity that he is here with us today physically, and that he can be worshiping you. God, I continue to pray for healing for this man. I continue to pray that your spirit comes alive in him. And God, that this cancer is not going to win. Because you are stronger. You have defeated everything, including death. So God, be with this man. Continue to let your spirit ooze out of him. Your love. Use him in however you want, Father, because he is yours. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
I just want to thank everybody that's here and that has supported me through this whole thing. To add you guys are wonderful people.
Thanks, Alex. So, I'm not going to lie to you, you know, trying to set yourself up or prepare a message for something like this, it can be somewhat difficult. I mean, there's so many different things that you're trying to juggle at the same time. You know, you're trying to build this church building. You're trying to hopefully reach some people. You're trying to talk to people all at the same time. And one of the things that I said to myself is, how can we bring what's going on in the inside of the building together with what's going on inside of us? And as you can see from the verse behind us, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Because, you know, God begins a work in us, and he began a work in this church, and it may not be finished, but it's a process, and we're going to work on it together. So, as we kind of open up God's Word here this morning, we strongly believe here that this thing right here, the Bible, is God's holy, inspired Word, like it's his breath. So we believe that here. We believe it's strong. We believe that it's got the power to speak and change our lives. In fact, in here it says that it's like a double-edged sword, that it can pierce our hearts. So when we read this, we expect things to happen. All right? So that's why we pray and invite God to be here with us as we read his Word. All right? So will you join us in prayer? God, thank you for your Word. Thank you that you are a God who loves us, that would give us your Word. So God, as we open up your Word this morning, may it not just be words that make sentences and sentences that make paragraphs. But God, may it change us. May it do just that. May it pierce our hearts to change us, to continue to be more and more like you. We love you, God. In your name we pray. Amen. So one of the interesting things, if you've been following us on Facebook or not, I'm carrying around a hammer sometimes, and my team actually trusted me to carry around a nail gun this week, which obviously it turned out okay because I'm up here right now, all right? But if you knew me at all, I am not what you would call a construction worker or a man with that's good with his hands, all right? For instance, I'll give you a story. So Miranda and I bought this Ninja Turtle Power Wheel thing for my son Zayden. He's 4 years old. We bought it for his birthday, and we thought, you know what? Let's put it together kind of on his birthday morning, and we're going to do this whole little process together. We thought that would be a good idea, but then, you know, knowing that I'm not the greatest man with my hands, I thought, you know what? Maybe we should do this beforehand so he can actually drive it on his birthday. So I open up this box, and on the specific box it says easy assembly, you know. In other words, dummies can put this thing together. So I kind of start putting this thing together, and suddenly I recognize that these pieces are not fitting together like I was hoping that they would fit together. All right? And I'm getting really, really frustrated. Because this piece says that it's supposed to go there, and I don't know how much muscle and force I'm supposed to use to go in there. I don't know how in the world this is all supposed to work together, but it's supposed to look like that on the box. Well, I keep trying, and I keep trying, and lo and behold, what says, you know, hopefully will take an hour, takes me about six, but we're done. We got a cool turtle van for our son, and he is so excited on his birthday. I remember we brought him out there, puts the pedal to the metal, and he bumps into the basketball hoop, but he thinks it's the coolest thing ever. I mean, he grabs my two-year-old Ezekiel, and they're riding around. They're like chumming in there. They think it's the coolest thing. And I'm looking. I look at Miranda, my wife, and I go, our son is driving. What do you think of this? Well, then we go to Mount Olympus, which is a theme and water park here, and they got little go-karts for kids. And I was like, you know what? I wonder if this turtle van taught him anything about driving. And this kid is like road rage on these go-karts. I mean, he's like, get out of my way, everybody else. I'm trying to drive here. The reason I tell you these things is sometimes when we begin working things, we sometimes want it to be easier than sometimes of what it is. And that's kind of the same thing that happens in our relationship with God. Is we think that at the moment of our conversion that everything is going to be perfect and everything is going to go together like a glove and we're not going to face any trials or hardships anymore. And then we face our first one and we ask God if He's really here. So there's three things. I want to preach on, I'll try my best to preach on one verse, give you some support with it. There's three words that I want to talk about today. And the three words are He, the word in, and the word day. The word He, in, and day. And you know what? Since this verse is posted up here for us, can we all read this together? Would that be all right? All right. Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So if you know the Bible at all, or maybe you don't, from the very beginning of time, God created us to be in this relationship with Him. All the way in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it starts there, and it talks about how God was created man and woman in His own image from the very, very beginning. And it even says in the garden, He was basically there physically, just kind of walking around. So He wants this relationship with people that He creates. Well, if you know the story at all of how it continues, you know, you have Adam and Eve who are created by God in His image. And then they kind of go off into the garden and they are tempted because instead of having God be number one, you know, they are tempted to put themselves number one. So they eat this apple or this piece of fruit of what they were forbidden to eat. You know, God said, you have everything in this garden. It will take care of everything that you need, but don't eat of this one tree. And they do it. And you know, sometimes how we live life, we say, well, that should be the end of the story. And God says one thing and they do another, and it should be over. But from the very beginning of the Bible, of God's holy inspired word, He shows that He has a plan of what we call redemption. And He's got a plan to put it all back together. I mean, we see that as it continues. If you know the Bible at all, or if you know any Bible stories, or if you've even seen some movies, they made a movie called Noah. Right? It talks about the ark. You know, God gets, all the sin becomes out of control, and God says, it's such a mess, I gotta start over, basically. And He keeps one family, He gets two by two, they come into the ark, and He's gonna erase everything it looks like, and then God begins His plan through him. And then you continue to go on, and there's this book, it's about, you know, the Israelites who are God's holy chosen people. And they go in to be in slavery into Egypt. And you're wondering, what in the world, why would they be enslaved there? And then they go through these plagues, the Egyptians do, because they won't let him go. And you see God working it all out. That He's going to take care of His people. And then the Ten Commandments come about. And we think, you know, that there are rules, strict rules that we have to follow. Well, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, they had no idea how to be a nation on their own. So God had to teach them. And that's what He was doing. He had a plan for them. Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because this whole verse, you know, Paul says that, and I am sure of this. In other words, he's got great confidence. He doesn't doubt at all. He is absolutely 100% sure of this. That He, and that He is God. He began this good work in you. In other words, all the way from the beginning, He had this plan for you. And then it goes on to say, a good work in you, that He will bring it to completion. In other words, what God starts, God always completes. What God starts, God always completes. You see, this morning you may be sitting here, and some of us have different backgrounds of coming in here today. You may be a believer, you may be here brought to you by a friend, maybe you were dragged by a family member. Come check out that Resonate Church. They're kicking off this morning. Now be the time for you to come. God wants to start a good work in you. And that could be why you're here this morning. Because maybe you haven't began that good work inside of you. But once that good work comes, the cool thing is it says that He began that work, so He is in control of it. You know, the cool thing that I love reading about God's Word is He's so faithful in so many different things that He does. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 37 through 39, I'm just going to go back to verse 35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?" In other words, Paul is saying, what's going to separate us from Christ? Is it something that we can do? What's going to separate us from God? Can we do something to separate us from God? And it says, "As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." And then he says, "No, in all things we are more than conquerors, though, through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." In other words, what God begins, He will complete it. Nothing will separate from Him. If He began the work, nothing will be snatched from His hands. That speaks incredible peace to me. But here's the thing. The second part of this verse is that word "in." Okay? And the word "in" is a specific word because it doesn't say "for." It doesn't say And I am sure that he who began a good work for you will bring it to completion. It says in you. I may have shared this with you, but a couple of years ago I was playing softball on a Friday night over in Monroe. And it was one of my first games over there. I was excited because I like softball. It's a fun game. And it's a safe game. Well, I thought. I was playing shortstop, and I remember a pop fly going out there, and you know, I'm not what I once was at the age of 20, and I thought I had really good range. So I ran out to get a fly ball, and I called it, but my center fielder seemed to not hear me calling him off, because soon we all of a sudden went kapowee, right? And naturally, I would put my arm down to brace myself from falling, and what I found out then was that was a very bad idea. I did what you would call, I tore my rotator cuff. And what was really bad was the twin girls were just born. So suddenly I found what could be a really disaster. Might have been a cool thing because now I didn't have to change much diapers for a little while. Sorry, Miranda. But here's the thing, okay? Here's the difference between for and in. When I tore my rotator cuff, I had the option to go into that procedure, right? And kind of, they said you tore your rotator cuff and you can kind of see what happens and hopefully it will all build back together, but sometimes that doesn't happen. So what they told me to do is they said, why don't you go to, anybody know? Physical therapy. See, often when we think about conversion or the first time that we accept Jesus as our Savior, we think of that He cured us of this nasty, nasty disease. But I want to challenge us this morning to think that maybe it's more about therapy. Because it's not about, it doesn't say in this verse that He's working for you, but He's working in you. So there's a work to be done after this. You know, Philippians 1:9-11. It says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. In other words, this is in action. He doesn't want you to say, yes, you know, I believe in you, God. I believe in who you are. And then just kind of let yourself be and go. He wants to mature you. He wants to make you holy, presentable for when Christ comes back, that you can be rewarded for that good fruit. You know, some of you may be saying, well, how in the world, you know, we talked a little bit about sin separating us. We sang about that before. You know, Xander sang a song that great is the one, you know, that would come and I was once an enemy of his and he died for me. You know, Ephesians 2:8-9, I think, explains it so well. It says, for it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship created in Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in Him. It all started in this Old Testament that we read and how, you know, God had all of these different stories and things that happened in the Old Testament and they were all leading to Christ. Jesus is God's Son, if you didn't know that. And that's why we worship. You see, God, in this redemption plan that I started talking about from the very beginning, He had in mind that He would send His Son down on the cross to die for each and every single one of you if you so believed. And we here believe that, you know, Jesus is more than enough. You know, it says in here that Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to the Father is through me. See, and the mistake that we make is sometimes we begin to understand that, or we think we get it, and so we say, yes, I want that. I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to accept Jesus. And then we just kind of leave it there. But this verse says that He who began a good work in you, not for you. So it doesn't stop the moment that you say yes to Jesus. I don't know if many of you know what the word resonate means, but I love the definition of resonate, and this is kind of where it all came about. You see, it means to be filled with a deep or full sound so that you can reverberate it out. And that's what it's about. See, that's that in you part. We are filled with the Lord so that we can overflow it onto other people. We are so engulfed. We are so mesmerized. We are so in love with Jesus, and we continue to understand His love a little bit more and a little bit more, that the work that He's doing in me, just I can't help but let it come out. You know, the last part of this message that I said to you, or the last word that I wanted to talk to you about, was the word day. It says, and I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You know, I strongly believe that you can believe something. You can believe that you want Jesus in your heart, but the Holy Spirit has to prompt you to that. And I want to show you a verse here today, because some of you may be saying here, you know, I was kind of draped here or whatever. I don't know if I really wanted to be here. It's kind of cool. They got some good smelling bacon kind of pork going on in here, and my stomach is kind of grumbling. So I'm here for the pork, you know. But you're here for much more than that. Because here's why. The book of 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 5, it says this. It says, this is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering. Y'all, there's a judgment coming. And the only way that you are going to get to into a relationship with God and the kingdom of God is if you are in a relationship with Him and you believe in His Son, that He is the only way, the truth, and the life. That's the only way that you're going to get it. And this is proof. It says, there is evidence of a righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. If that doesn't scare you, if you aren't a believer, you probably should get a little scared here, a little bit nervous. But then it goes on to say in verse 9, they will suffer the punishment of not just a little bit here on earth, maybe some bad consequences, bad karma going to happen your way. That's not what it says. It says they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. Gaming term, game over. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. That's the scary part. And from the glory of His might. When He, Jesus, comes on that day to be glorified in His saints, that's us as the church, and to be marveled at among all who believed, because our testimony to you was believed. Y'all, I want to end on this today, okay? I don't want you to go to destruction. I don't want you. We don't want you. Resonate Church does not want you to be separated from the glory of God. But the bottom line is, it's going to happen. if you don't see that this work starts happening. And it starts with the belief in Jesus, and then the work begins in you, where He begins to shape and mold you more and more into His character. You know, the whole reason that we did all of the work here in the church is hopefully to draw people in so we can do that same thing, train them in a way to love Jesus and do the same thing and show love of Jesus to others. So I want to end here today. The cool thing is it's not the end of our service. I want to end here today in what we call an altar call. An altar call is something that we come up here and we recognize our need for Jesus. And maybe it will be for the first time that you say, Jesus, I need you. I understand that I am destined for destruction if something doesn't happen soon. So I need you. And I'm going to say for the first time in front of all these people, I'm going to come down here and I'm going to bow for the first time and say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I want you to begin this work inside of me today. And I've been praying for you, as has a lot of our people here today. And I want this to be your opportunity to say, Jesus, I need you. Because the cool thing is, I'm going to go change my clothes because we have people here that say, I believe in this Jesus and I want to show you and I'm going to be baptized today. So as we do that, I'm going to give it off to Richard. But if you don't believe in Jesus, please don't leave here today. Hoyt's going to come up here and he's, if you feel that you, the Spirit prompting you to say yes today, Hoyt's going to be up here to talk to you. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you would have a plan of redemption for us. God, we're sorry when we make it about us. But right now we want to make it all about you. God, let your children come home. We love you.